I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Are we really the top of the food chain? Are we really the dominant species of this planet? That is what our first story is about. Our second story, we're heading over to California, where this hunter sees something so horrifying that he's almost scared to leave his cabin. Then we're heading over to West Virginia, where this Canadian couple are taking a road trip together, and they get assaulted by this satanic cult, and this is what happens. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up, and tell a friend. Now let's get spooky. I thought we were at the top of the food chain. I was so wrong. Hey, my name is Levy. I've never done this before, but people need to know what's out there. It's likely that you've heard of such monsters as skinwalkers, wendigos, Bigfoots, but you choose to believe that creatures of that kind could never roam the earth. That humans are the top of the food chain, that we rule this planet. Though comforting, this mindset will not save you when you come face to face with a nightmare, when you realize how weak and helpless you truly are. It will be too late. My long-distance girlfriend Tay, who is studying on the other side of the country, was visiting her parents in my town. It was my first time meeting them, and it went the way everyone wants it to go. I don't mean to brag, but they loved me, and they were really nice. When it got late, and I was getting ready to go home, Tay's mom offered for me to stay a while. Tay was in town, so we could spend as much time as possible together until she had to go back to school. Tay looked at me excitedly, and I asked, "Are you sure? I don't want to be a burden." "Nonsense, Levy," Tay's mom said. "We think you and Tay are perfect together, and we know how much she misses you when she's gone. Make the most out of each other." Tay hugs her mom and then pulls me and her dad into a hug. It was a beautiful moment. But I can't look at it now without it being tainted by the events that followed. The next few days were perfect. I spent more time with Tay than I ever had before. It was hard with her being so far away most of the time. FaceTime could only do so much to quench the emptiness I felt without her. But for those few days, life felt complete. I hung out with her family. We played card games for hours. I helped her dad fix his motorbike. Well, I say helped, but I mostly just held the flashlight and handed him tools. But I think I won him over that day. He probably would have gave me his blessing in marriage if I had asked. That night, we were all sat around the TV watching the new Lightyear movie, which was surprisingly good. I'd be lying if I said I didn't shed a few tears. At around 11:18 p.m. when the movie had finished, Tay's parents said goodnight and headed off to bed, and a couple of Tay's friends who had been visiting said goodbye and drove home. I got up to get some water from the kitchen, and as I walked back, I stood in the doorway that separated the kitchen from the living room, which was dark. It was only lit by the TV, allowing me to see Tay, frozen, staring towards the window, which was out of my direct line of sight. Confused, I peeked my head over the doorway and looked towards the window. I froze and dropped my glass. Luckily, it landed on the carpet and didn't make much of a noise. And the giant, pale creature standing an inch from the window didn't notice. The creature was Foul, a gaunt, lanky humanoid. Well, at least the head and torso was humanoid. It had no legs. The torso ended in a stump. The body was being held up by four arms, each one probably 2 meters long. The creature's whole body was covered in gray skin, stretched tightly over its abnormally long bones. The thing had no hair anywhere. Its mouth was strangely wide, stretching around to where its ears would be if it had them. And its eyes were just sunken, inky black pits in its head. But I could tell it was just staring at Tay, who had tears rolling down her face. She slowly turned her head to look at me. She was shaking and breathing quickly.
"Levy," she whimpered. "Help."
I had never felt so powerless. I'm a 6'2", lean but muscular 20-year-old guy. I was supposed to protect her. I always thought I could. And I would die to protect her. But I had no idea how to protect her from whatever that thing was. Then I had an idea. I looked to the light switch panel to my left. I knew that one of them was the porch light. But there were three others. The living room light, the kitchen light, and the hallway light. If I pressed the wrong light, I don't know what the thing would do, but I had to try. I had to remember. Which light did I see Tay's dad use to turn the porch light on when he went out last night? I reached for the light second from the bottom and flicked the switch. The hall light turned on. Luckily, the hall is on the opposite side of the kitchen to where the living room was, and it was out of view for the creature at the window. But I can't mess up again. If the kitchen light turns on, the creature will see me. And if the living room light turns on, it might cause it to attack Tay. I looked back to the creature, which was reaching, using one of its hands to scratch the window. I had to do something. I reached for the bottom light switch and flicked it. The porch light turned on. The creature spun around to face it and let out a screech that will haunt my nightmares for the rest of my life. I ran to Tay and grabbed her, dragged her off to the side of the couch where there was about a meter gap between the armrest of the couch and the wall. And I held her. What else could I do? I can't fight the thing. We couldn't outrun it. Does Tay know how scared I am? Can she feel my heart running laps in my chest? I want her to feel safe, like nothing can hurt her when I'm there. But that's clearly not true. The sound of the window smashing fills the house and Tay cries into my shoulder. I hold her tightly. I kiss the top of her head and I wait quietly. I can't see anything. It's pitch darkness, besides the slight blue glare from the TV on the wall above us. But I could hear raspy breathing and bones cracking as the thing searches the living room. I hear it sniffing the couch where Tay was sitting, and I hear it making its way closer to the end of the couch. One of its hands pressed on the wall above us. The closer it gets, the less scared I become. All that fear is replaced by anger. This thing wants to hurt the person I love with all of my heart. It wants to take the one thing that makes me happy. I would die for this girl. I kiss her one more time and get myself into a defense position so that I could easily tackle it before it reaches Tay. And as I see the silhouette of its head begin to peek over the side of the couch, suddenly, the lights turn on. And Tay's dad yells as he sees us from the kitchen while he's holding a shotgun. The creature runs at him, but falls to the ground as one of its arms is obliterated at the shoulder after Tay's dad fires a shot. The creature shakes around on the ground like a fly without wings, before it grabs the TV in one of its hands and flings it effortlessly at Tay's dad, sending him flying into the kitchen counter behind him. The creature quickly sprints out of the window and unleashes a final screech as it disappears into the tree line behind the house. And here we are. I'm sitting at the hospital with Tay and her family. Her dad has a broken jaw, 2 broken collarbones, 6 cracked ribs, 2 broken vertebrae on his neck, and a broken pelvis. He's sleeping right now due to the meds he's on, but he's supposed to recover, though he likely won't be able to walk for a while, if ever again. This whole thing happened around 5 hours ago. It's 4:38 a.m. as I'm writing this. The police left a while ago after telling us we can't go back to the house for a while. I don't know what that thing was, but it's safe to say, we are not the dominant species in this world. There are things bigger than us, stronger than us, things you couldn't dream of. You think you could protect yourself? Your family? The only difference between you and a rabbit being hunted by a wolf is that the rabbit knows that it's in danger. And the rabbit is running for its life. I'm a hunter in the mountains of California. My latest kill wasn't a deer. The rangers just drove away, so I think I'm clear to write now. If you read the title, then you know I'm a hunter. And before I tell the story, I think there are some misconceptions about hunters that I need to clear up. First off, I respect the wildlife. I do not kill for sport, and most of us don't either. I live on a secluded cabin deep in the mountains. The nearest actual store is an hour or so from my cabin, so I find it easier to hunt deer instead of making that drive every single time that I need food. And second off, if I see an animal who is injured, I put it out of its misery. That's not really a misconception, just a good segue into the story, since that's how it started. I was on a trip into the woods, venturing to a flower-filled meadow that deer seemed to love grazing and frolicking in. Usually, there were several there, but this time, there were none. Odd. About 45 minutes of nothing, I tromped out into the field and took off my mufflers, my ears immediately being hit with the sound of a wounded deer. I figured I better put a bullet to its head instead of leaving it to suffer. I followed the sound and found a deer lying down on its side, intestines leaking from a large gash on its side. I took out my revolver I kept with me for this particular task and took aim. Just then, I heard the crashing of bushes and branches snapping to my right. Something was coming. Based on the sounds, a bear maybe. I saw a boulder a few paces away, so I jumped behind it and waited. When the sound stopped, I peeked out from behind my spot. A lone deer was standing over the wounded one, sniffing it and nudging it. I was confused and about to reveal myself when the deer looked around, as if checking that no one was watching. Then it grew. Its bones grew into spindly limbs, tearing its flesh at its joints, and the smell of fresh blood wafted my way. Its antlers grew longer and more tangled, while its teeth, previously meant for chewing plants, shifted into a carnivorous maw. It began to use a pair of new clawed hands to tear the wounded deer open further and eat the organs that fell out. I tried not to let my breakfast come back up while planning out what to do next. My rifle was about 20 yards away, and I wasn't sure how fast this thing that was feeding was. I eventually decided on a mad dash to my gun, hoping it didn't chase me. I counted down from 3 and took off towards my dropped weapon. behind me, I heard the thing I was dreading. The thing was after me. Shit. Shit, shit, shit. I jumped at my rifle and snatched it, whipping around and shooting a desperate blank into the thing's direction. I covered my face, so I didn't see that my shot hit it in its shoulder. It let out a sound that echoed off every tree in the dark woods behind me. While it was still reeling, I pulled out my revolver and ran up. Holding my barrel about an inch from its forehead, I fired the killing shot. I realized that I had better report this to a forest ranger or even the police, but ended up picking the first one. I showed them the body and they went silent. Without a word, they loaded up the corpse into their pickup truck and drove off. So now I'm at my desk writing this, and well, I don't think I have much time left. I keep hearing something screeching, and I have no doubt it's another one of those things. I could hear them tapping and scratching on my window. If these are my last words, then I have a warning. There is an unknown species in the woods of California, and they look like deer. My girlfriend and I were chased by a satanic cult in the Appalachian Mountains of West Virginia. This happened in the summer of 2017. My girlfriend and I are from St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. We both attended university there and decided to take a road trip through the United States to celebrate our graduation. Our destination was Miami, Florida. Her family owns a condo near the beach, so we had a free place to stay. We decided to drive instead of flying because we wanted to see a bit of the country on the way down and visit a few friends. The trip usually takes about 20 to 24 hours by car nonstop, and we were planning on making multiple stops. The first part of the road trip was a wonderful experience. We went shopping in Buffalo, then we made our way down to Pittsburgh and managed to catch a Pirates game. However, once we hit West Virginia, things changed. It was nothing but endless wilderness and a few small towns sprinkled in between. We had plans to meet up with some friends for dinner in Charlotte, North Carolina, so we wanted to get through West Virginia ASAP. We only made stops when we absolutely had to. We ended up stopping for gas at a pretty remote spot. My girlfriend and I got out of the car. I started pumping gas and she went inside to use the washroom and pick up some snacks. My tank was about halfway full when I heard a voice behind me ask, "Y'all lost?" I looked behind me and I saw a middle-aged white man with long, messy brown hair that reached down to his shoulders and an unkempt beard with dashes of grays and what looked to be drops of dried-up mucus. His clothes were torn up and dirty, and he smelled like a mixture of beer, sweat, pee, and feces. He was a little overweight, but pretty tall. I'm 6 foot, and he was about 4 inches taller than me. The teeth he still had were left in yellowish brown. On his right cheek, just under the eye, was a tattoo of some kind of pentagram. I'm pretty into YouTube videos about true crime and cults, so I was able to recognize it pretty quickly. He was standing very close to my face, to the point where the smell of his breath was making me dizzy, so I backed up. "No, sir, just passing through," I said nervously. "Not too often we see tourists passing through these parts," he responded. "Where are y'all headed?" As he said this, he moved even closer than he was before. I had my back up against my car and I couldn't move back any further. I wanted to get away from this guy as quickly as possible, but the car was still filling up with gas and my girlfriend was still inside the gas station. I didn't want this dude to know where we were really going, so I told him I was visiting family in Kentucky and they were expecting us. After I said this, he cracked a weird half smile. opening his mouth just wide enough for me to get a good look at his teeth again. I'll never forget that face. His bloodshot eyes were staring deep into my soul. He let out a weird and sinister laugh.
"How lovely," he said. "I'll see you kids around."
Then he walked away. I was very relieved that he had walked away, but also terrified by his last remarks. I didn't even see him when we had pulled up at the gas station, so how did he know I wasn't alone? I figured he must have been watching my girlfriend and when we arrived. The car was finally filled up, and I saw my girlfriend walking towards the car with bags full of snacks for the road. I noticed that the weird guy was still at the gas station. He was just a few pumps away from us, leaning up against an old red pickup truck. But to my utter discomfort, he wasn't alone. There were two other men and one woman with him, making the group four in total. The two men were just as big as he was, but they had shaved heads. One of them was wearing a dirty white tank top, and the other one had no shirt on at all. The woman was shorter, about 5'5". She was very skinny, with heavy bags under her eyes and long blonde hair. They all looked like they had been living in the woods for the past 10 years. They were staring and pointing at us, talking amongst themselves. As soon as my girlfriend got to the car, I urgently told her to get in. I'm usually a pretty calm guy, so when my girlfriend notices I was kind of freaking out, she knew something was up. We quickly entered the car. I locked the doors, and I began hauling ass out of the gas station. As we pulled around the red truck at the exit, I noticed that there was another pentagram painted on the hood. I also noticed that there was a skull of a goat or a ram on the windshield. The four people began getting into their truck as they saw us leaving. I knew they were going to follow us as soon as we left. I explained the situation to my girlfriend as we were speeding away from the gas station. We were zooming down the road, and I looked into my rearview mirror. As I expected, the red truck was right behind us. I sped up even more, and they did too. I made a left, and they did too. I made a full U-turn, and they did as well. My girlfriend managed to get reception and dialed 911. We gave the operator our location, and they gave us directions to the nearest police station. The operator also asked for the license plate, but the truck didn't have any. Once we were off the phone with them, my girlfriend stuck the cell phone outside the window and started pointing at it, letting the creeps know that we had called the police. They finally got the message and stopped following us. We arrived at the police station and filed a report. We gave them the description of the truck and the suspects. The investigators said they would call us if they had any more information. We were extremely shaken, but also relieved. All we wanted to do at that point was get the hell out of West Virginia. We thought that we had shaken the group for good, but unfortunately, we were wrong. We decided to drive through the night to cover as much ground as possible. The area of the Appalachia we were in had no streetlights, and I could only see what my headlights allowed me to see. Everything was fine until I noticed two headlights in my rearview mirror. At first, I didn't think anything of it, but I kept an eye on them. The headlights got closer and closer until they were tailgating us. To my complete shock and horror, it was the same red truck from the gas station. These people had somehow found us again and were right behind us. "It's them!" I yelled. My girlfriend began to freak out and dialed 911. I floored the gas pedal, not even knowing what was 10 meters in front of me. All we cared about was escaping. We got a mile up on the road until my girlfriend yelled, "Watch out!" There were three dead cows blocking the narrow road. I slammed on the brakes. The red truck was right behind us and we couldn't go forward. We knew we fell into a trap. All of a sudden, A naked man wearing a goat mask darted out from the woods and began hitting our car with what looked like a large axe. The naked man got on the hood of our car and started making sheep noises. My girlfriend was still on the phone with 911, but all she could do was scream. The people behind us got out of the red truck and began walking towards our car. Two of them had rifles and one of them had a large machete. I knew what I had to do. I put the car in reverse and floored it. The naked man fell off of our car. We smashed into the truck and I managed to knock it into a ditch. After the truck was out of the way, I pulled the fastest U-turn of my life and we were out of there. The people were yelling all kinds of obscenities at us as we drove away. I drove as fast as I could away from those people until we finally arrived in town and filed another police report. My girlfriend and I were uninjured, thankfully, but we were extremely traumatized. The car was still drivable after that, so we were able to get the hell out of West Virginia the next morning. This entire experience made my girlfriend and I scared to do any more road trips. I still called the police departments in West Virginia once in a while to see if they had any more leads on these people. But so far, they have never found anything. The fact that these people were able to find us after we had went to the police station and drove far away, still scared, baffles me to this day. Who knows what kind of sick and twisted things this cult had planned for us if they managed to catch us. Stay safe out there, everyone.